Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? It is so good to see you this morning. I feel like it's been a very long time since I have stood up here and got to open up the Word of God with you, and I am excited to do that this morning. Before we do, I want to say thank you so much to Brandon for his tremendous series on Colossians. Absolutely. Thanks, B. And I want to say thank you to Jordan Stansel, who brought a powerful word last week as well. Thank you. You know, it does my heart a lot of good to be able to leave and not have to think for a second and worry if the Word of God is going to be faithfully preached in this place. We are very blessed to have men of God who can correctly handle the Word of truth. And so I thank God for them each and every day. And it's been a minute. And I want to thank all of you who were praying for us as our team got back from Colombia about 24 hours ago. We touched down. And so thank you so much for that. And yeah, sure. Thank you for that. We felt your prayers, and I want to bring you greetings and blessings from your brothers and sisters in Christ in Colombia. They wanted to share with you that they love you and that they're praying for you as well. As we begin this morning, let's pray and we'll jump into the Word of God together, okay? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the chance to be here in this place with your people. Thank you for what you're doing, not just here at Swiss Cove, but all over the world. May everything that we do and say bring glory to you. And God, please fill this place and leave none of us unchanged this morning. We love you. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen. Well, let me be among the first to say to you dads in the room, Happy Father's Day. Love you all. Thank you for the work that you do with your kids. And I love being a dad. It is one of my favorite jobs. If you don't know, I have three children, Micah, Eden, and Elijah. They are 10, 8, and 6. And man, they bring a lot of joy to my life. You know how cool it was to open up the door? Yesterday, I didn't even get inside. They're running outside and giving me hugs. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. They bring a lot of joy to my life. They also keep me on my toes. They make me laugh, and they make me tired. Anybody else? Yeah, they make me laugh, and they make me tired too. And I have to show you this picture that Elijah did for me for Father's Day. At the end of the school year, you know, Father's Day is during summer break, so they do all this stuff in advance, and they bring it. And Elijah, he made this picture for me, and I had to share it with you. It says, my dad's name is Elliot. My favorite memory of my dad is when we read books together. He always says, I love you. His favorite thing to eat is eggs and steak. Pretty good. He's really good at workouts. When he comes home, he likes to watch the news. He laughs when I tell him jokes. And here's the good ones. My dad is 64 years old. And thanks, man. Appreciate that. And his pockets are full of candy. So in case you're wondering, yes, they are. So at least today. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Elliot. I'm a 64-year-old man who eats steak and eggs. I'm good at working out, and I like to watch the news. I laugh at Elijah's jokes, and I have pockets full of candy. So now that we know one another, let's continue on. It's amazing to see how your kids see you, isn't it? And, you know, as a dad, I wear a lot of hats. I have multiple roles. I am simultaneously the one who wrestles with them and laughs with them and jokes with them and has a lot of fun. And also, I'm the person who is supposed to bring the calm and the stability in the household. It's an incredible privilege to be a dad. It's also an incredible responsibility, and it's one that I take very seriously. You know, there's a lot of things that I want to teach my kids. There's a lot of things that I hope to pass on to them, and most of them are things that I feel completely unqualified to teach anybody. And I know the dads in the room can relate to that. Because, you know, it's my job to teach them to love Jesus. It's my job to teach them to love their mom and to love other people the way that Jesus would want them to love them. And it's also my job to teach them to put on deodorant so they're not the stinky kid in class. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to have the stinky kid in class. And you know, I'm grateful for Abby, and if you've ever met her, you know why. Okay? She's incredible. She's super mom. She brings so much to the table, and our family would be in big trouble without mama. Okay? So let's make that very clear. You know, mama will hold you while daddy would say, you want me to get the machete? We can take care of it, you know? And you can walk it off. You're fine. We need mama. And we love mommy. At the end of the day, I will say this. At the end of the day, though, the responsibility for the spiritual development of my children rests right here. it rests with me. And I will never forget the way that Matt Chandler put it in a sermon one time. He was talking to a group of men, and he said, "Gentlemen, if Jesus comes knocking on your door, the door of your house, and he wants to talk to somebody about the direction it's headed, he ain't looking for your wife. If he comes knocking on the door of your house, wanting to talk about the spiritual development of your family, he is not looking for your wife. He's looking for you." And I think about that a lot. I think about it a lot. I think about the things that I want for my children, the blessings that I hope that they inherit, the lives that I hope that they will choose. And so much of what I think about isn't necessarily about specific choices. It's about trajectory, about the direction that they're heading. Am I helping them get set off on the right path? Are they aimed in the right direction? Is the trajectory that I'm setting for them, is that going to lead them to a life that is blessed by God? Because as a dad, you know, when they're little, I can make most of the choices for them, right? I can make them do things. But the older they get, I don't have nearly as much control in what happens. And the weird thing and the scary thing as a dad is I don't get to make the most important choices for them, do I? See, I can't make them choose to love Jesus. That's not something I can do as a father. I can't make them love people the way that Jesus would want them to. They have to make their own decisions. But it is still my responsibility to make sure that I'm pointing them in the right direction. And have you noticed they watch everything? They watch everything, man. And they pick up on the bad stuff a lot faster than the good stuff, right? All the things that I don't want them to emulate about me, they get that right away. Right away. And the stuff that I'm like, yeah, I really hope this passes on, we got to work on over and over and over again. It's not as simple as just sitting down and having a conversation about it once and now you've done it, I've had the conversation, now we're good. That's not how it is. It has to be a way of life for me. And we've all heard the saying, more is caught than taught. And man, that's true, isn't it? See, this cannot be do as I say and not as I do. If I take every opportunity to miss church so I can go and do whatever with them because I want them to be well-rounded and have all these experiences, what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them that church is somewhere you go as long as you don't have anything better to do. You know, if I don't read my Bible, and if they don't occasionally catch me reading my Bible, what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them that the Word of God isn't that important to Dad. And so it probably isn't all that important at all. If I don't pray with them, if I don't pray for them, if I don't pray with them for other people, what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them that prayer is not that big of a deal. See, I have to model for them the life that I want them to have. I have to model for them the life I want them to have. If I want them to receive the blessing of God because of the lives they choose to lead, I have to lead that same life myself. It starts right here. I have to live my life for the glory of God and put myself in position to receive the blessing that He's promised. And, you know, if I'm being honest with you, that works out pretty well because I would also like to receive the blessings of God in my life. So it works out okay. We're all chasing blessings in life, aren't we? Every one of us, we're chasing blessings in life. We want them for ourselves, and we want blessings for our kids as well. We want to leave a legacy that lasts generation after generation. And we're actually going to spend several weeks talking about legacy in the next couple months, and I cannot wait to unpack that with you. But you know, the question isn't, do we want blessings? The question is, which blessing am I chasing? It's not, do I want them? Do I want blessings? It's, which blessings am I after? Are we chasing after possessions and money and security, status, fame, security, achievement, all these things? Or are we chasing after the blessings of God? And some of us might push back and say, well, wait just a second. Can't God give us all the things that you just said? And the answer is yes, of course God can give us all of those things. But here's the thing. Am I chasing after those things as an end in and of themselves? Or am I chasing after God and relying on Him to provide the other things in my life? Because there's a big difference. When we make those things the ultimate thing, they end up leaving us empty, don't they? Even if we get them for a minute. So today I want us to lock in on this idea that too many of us are aimed at the wrong target. Too many of us are aimed at the wrong target. And when we aim at the wrong target, it doesn't even matter if we hit it, does it? When you're aimed at the wrong target, it doesn't matter if you hit it. We settle so many times in our lives for temporary blessings or counterfeit ones, and those ultimately lead us to death. We're scrambling around and we're stressed out. We're trying to juggle 75 different goals, and we're worried that if we drop one of the balls, we'll ruin everybody's lives. It's a lot of pressure. But what if there's a better way? What if there's a better way? Because God's already told us how to be blessed. He didn't hide the ball. He told us how to be happy, how to be content, all these other things that we're chasing. And we're going to open up the Word of God together and read it for ourselves. Because I don't want you to take my word for it. If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to the book of Psalm, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. Don't worry, it's only 6 verses, okay? Psalms 1, 1 through 6. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can check us out in the live events section there. Just look for Swiss Cove. It'll be there as well. Here's what we read in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Now the word blessed here is the equivalent in Hebrew to the word that Jesus uses for blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed or happy is the person that doesn't take advice from people who don't follow God, doesn't take advice from people who don't love God, who doesn't surround themselves with people who aren't following God, and who doesn't spend their days in the company of people who mock God. This person, this blessed person, chooses their circle very carefully. And I want to ask you, does that sound like it describes you? See, it matters. The people around you matter because they shape the course of your life. They either push you toward God or they pull you further from Him. And as a parent, you put a ton of thought into this for your kids, don't you? You're very careful about who you allow into the lives of your children. And when they're little, you say, "I don't know if you should play with them. Because if you hang out with them, you're going to start acting like they act, and I don't want you to act like them. So maybe you should find some other people to hang out with." We're very careful as parents about who we allow into the lives of our children. But I want to ask you, do you do the same thing for you? Or is that just something you do for your kids? See, the qualification to be in the inner circle of my life should be more than, "Well, we both like football," or, you know, "We're both into design. We like computer stuff. Maybe it's video games," or, "We work in the same building." So, you know, that's just who it is. And we've talked about this before. I don't want you to hear something I'm not saying. I'm not saying be mean to these people. I'm not saying ignore them or have nothing to do with them. But these should not be the people who have permission to speak into your life. They should not be the people who are closest to you. But here's the thing. We can't just base our lives on the things we're not going to do, can we? Because this is half of the equation. Okay? We can't just say, "Well, I'm just going to cut out all the bad influences." The second part of this passage tells us what we are going to do. What we are going to do, if you want to be blessed, is to fill your heart with the Word of God. That psalm said, "Blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night." The blessed person's anchor in their life is what? It's the Word of God. The blessed person's anchor in their life, the place that they turn to, is the Word of God. They know it better than they know their politics. They know it better than they know their sports. And it's more important to them than all of those things combined. Why? Because it's how they get to know their Father, and their relationship with their Father is the most important thing in their life. Inside the Word of God, this blessed person finds all kinds of things. They find financial counsel. How am I going to run the finances of my house? They find it inside the Word of God. They find guidelines for relationships. how to deal with stressful situations. Inside the Word of God, they find freedom and hope and healing and forgiveness. They fill themselves with the Word of God. And as a result, the psalmist says they are like a tree planted by a stream of water. Their roots run deep. And we're not saying that they don't face hardships in life, because they do. The storms of life still rage, don't they? The difference is this person's roots run deep and they remain strong through it all. And the alternative, because there is an alternative, the alternative is to chase after other things. But the psalmist draws a stark contrast between these two ways of life, didn't he? You can choose to ignore everything I just said. You don't have to do it. You can choose to ignore all of that. You can surround yourself with people who don't love Jesus, who are pushing you to chase after the things of the world. And here's what Scripture says will happen if you choose to do that. Instead of being like a tree that's planted by streams of water, it says that the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. Let me say that another way. If you choose to live life that way, when things get hard, everything will fall apart. Maybe you've experienced it before. When things get hard, everything just kind of falls apart. In the end, if you choose that way of life, you'll find yourself empty and alone, facing the judgment of God without the intervention of Jesus. And my friends, that is not where you want to be. That's not where you want to be. These are two very different lives. Very different lives. The good news is you get to pick which one you want to live. The bad news is you can't pick both. This is not a both and. This is not sometimes I live this way and sometimes I live that way. You have to make a choice. There are two paths before you now, and you've got to choose one of them. And the hard part is they might not seem all that different at first. Because you can choose to spend your life chasing after money and possessions and security and all this other stuff, and you might get it for a little while. You might. There are a lot of people who don't love Jesus who have a lot more money than me. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? There are a lot of people who don't love Jesus, whose lives look really pretty good, at least from the outside. But you're here today in the room or on the stream or on the podcast, wherever you are, you're here today. We're having this conversation because you're not just looking at today. You're looking past today and you're looking at eternity, and not just eternity for you, but the eternity of the people that you love, of your family, of your kids, of your grandkids, of all these people that you care about. You're looking beyond just today, and you're not going to settle for a temporary blessing. You're not going to settle for a counterfeit blessing, because you know how temporary and how fragile those things can really be. You're looking for the blessing of God. So here's my encouragement to you based on what we just read in Scripture. Okay, looking at Psalm 1, what do we need to do? Guard your circle, fill your heart with God's Word. Guard your circle. Fill your heart with God's Word. Don't just allow anybody to speak into your life. Choose those people very carefully. And you'll notice a major difference when you surround yourself with people who are genuinely chasing after Jesus. You'll be happier. You'll have less stress in your life. You'll be blessed. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus more than anything. Who love Jesus more than they love you. I was talking to my friend Danielle in Colombia just a couple days ago. I've known him since he was 13, been going for a long time. He's 21 now, which is like blowing my mind. And he has a girlfriend for the first time. So I sat him down and I said, "Hey, I need to talk to you for a minute, Bubba." I said, "You know what the secret is to a healthy relationship with your girlfriend? I'm going to give it to you whether you want it or not." So I guess here we are. The secret is this. You need to love Jesus more than you love her. And she needs to love Jesus more than she loves you. And the reason is this: if you love Jesus more than you love her, Jesus will teach you how to love her better than you could ever love her on your own. And your relationship will be blessed. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus more than they love you, and you will have a blessed life. I can promise you that. Do that and see if your life does not improve dramatically. And the second thing is fill your heart with God's Word. Fill your heart with the Word of God. I got a challenge for you. You up for it? Absolutely. We got one person who has faith. Come on, Paul. We'll do it together, man. Yeah. Okay. Here's the challenge. The rest of you are like, "Why don't you tell me what it is first, and then I'll decide." Okay. Here's the challenge for you. I challenge you for the next week to spend more time in the Word of God than you do on the news. Spend more time in the Word of God than you do on politics. Maybe it's not the news for you. I guess it is for me. At least that's what Elijah says. Okay, spend more time in the Word of God than you do on your sports team, on your video games, on the computer, whatever it is that's your thing. Spend more time in God's Word than you do on that for 1 week. And then come back next week and tell me your life wasn't better. Then come back next week and tell me you didn't have more peace and more comfort and more joy in your life. Tell me you weren't more happier spending time with your Father than you were in the things of the world. Here's what I know. You won't come back and tell me that. You won't. You'll find peace and joy and security and hope in the pages of Scripture, because you'll encounter the heart of your Father. You'll encounter the one who actually has the power to deal with all the things in your life that you're stressed out about right now. You'll encounter the one who has the power to bless your life. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about all the things that we stress out about. You remember in Matthew 6, he said, we're frantic, we're running around going, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to wear? You remember what he said next? He said, don't worry about that. He said, don't worry about that. He might add today. He might say, what about my 401k? What about the mortgage? All this kind of stuff. But he said, your heavenly Father knows what you need. And he loves you. He said, you see those birds flying around? He takes care of them and he loves you a whole lot more than he loves them. And then he hits us with this in Matthew 6:33. He says, stop worrying about all this stuff. Here's what you need to do. But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus said, you're aiming at the wrong target there, Bubba. You're aiming at the wrong target, and even if you hit it, it won't matter. So focus on the kingdom of God and let him handle the rest of it. Now, that's not to say that money in and of itself is evil. And I'm not saying you should quit your job or stop paying your mortgage either. Don't come back to me next week and tell me, I stopped paying my mortgage. Something happened. They told me I had to leave. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not saying don't take care of that stuff. What I'm saying is the focus of your life, the primary focus of your life, should be building the kingdom of God. And when the primary focus of your life is building the kingdom of God, he will take care of you. He'll give you what you need. Maybe not what you want. He'll give you what you need, and you'll live a blessed life. And a great first step to living a blessed life would be doing what the psalmist said. You remember what he said? He said, guard your circle. Fill your heart with God's word. And church, we're not going to be people who just came one day and wrote some stuff down in the notebook that we bring to church and then never look at again. We're going to be people who put this into practice because we want to leave a legacy of faith and fulfillment to our families. Amen? That's what we want. We want to leave a legacy of faith and fulfillment to our families. We're going to teach our kids that the very best thing that they can do with their lives is love Jesus with everything that they have. We're going to leave an inheritance. We're going to do our best to do that. But it's going to be more than money, isn't it? We want it to be so much more than financial. But it starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. We have to live our lives for the glory of Jesus each and every day. We've got to trust him to provide what we need while we're busy over here building the kingdom of God. He is faithful, amen? My God has never failed. He is faithful, and we're going to be faithful too. I want you to know that I pray for you all the time, and I consider it an honor to build the kingdom of God alongside of you. My prayer for you is that Jesus will bless our lives and that the legacy of faith that extends from this family will extend to generation after generation. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence this morning. Thank you that Jesus came and gave his life on the cross for us. We didn't deserve that, and we certainly needed it. And we're so thankful that he didn't stay in that grave, that 3 days later he arose, conquering sin and death. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with you. We give you all the glory and all the praise with every breath that we take, because you alone deserve it. It's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray these things. Amen.